All right. I think I'm on now. Thank you. I'm so excited that I forgot to turn it on. You know, it's like what we're going to talk about. John was in the military. And think about in the military, you jumping from the helicopter into the battlefield. You're so excited, you can't wait to engage in the battle. And then you jump down, and then you realize that you've left your weapon in the airplane. For the Christian, our most powerful weapon is prayer. And yet, many times, we're walking through life, the enemy is shooting bullets at us, and we've forgotten our weapon. That's what we're going to talk about this morning. Our Father invites us to come to Him and talk to Him and let Him unleash His power on our behalf. Yet for many of us, most of the time, we're walking through life and we have left our weapon behind. Let's go to Him. Father, thank You. Thank You for inviting us to join You in Your work of saving this world. Thank You for inviting us to be partners with You. Thank You for inviting us to be co-laborers with You. Thank You for inviting us to be Your friends, to confide in us. I'm asking, Lord, that You open our ears to hear You and help us to gladly rejoice to Your invitation to join You in Your work. Thank You, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Night's on, okay? Don't forget to turn it on, okay? And for many of us, we need to just plug in and let God do His work. I titled the sermon today, Let Us Pray. And the sub is prayer in the life of the Christian. Prayer is the most powerful, perhaps the most neglected weapon in the life of the Christian. And if you forget everything I'm going to say, don't forget this. When we work, we work. When we pray, God works. When we work, we work. When we pray, God works. And many times we are trying to do things in our own strength. My point this morning, and if you don't hear it, my point is not to condemn you that you are not praying enough. No. My point is to remind you that God is inviting you to be a partner with Him. He wants to deploy His resources so that you experience more than you have experienced. He wants you to walk like the child of the King. That is who you are. For many of us, we are not enjoying that. So do not hear condemnation this morning, no. But hear an invitation, the privilege to come and join God in His work. Okay? The scripture says that we are aliens in a hostile environment. That is who we are. We live in a hostile environment that is hostile to our King. And because of that, we need to stay in close contact with our real home, with heaven, and represent our King. So, it's several things that the scripture talks about in terms of our relationship with God. And I want to pick on three of them this morning. The scripture says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 through 21, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, that person is a new creation. The old has gone. The new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us that ministry of reconciliation. God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation, the message of, yes, we, you and I, are therefore ambassadors for Christ. As though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Did you hear that? It says that you and I are ambassadors for Christ. We are ambassadors for the kingdom of heaven. We are representatives of that kingdom of heaven. Now, the ambassador's role is to continually listen to what's happening in the kingdom and try to represent that kingdom. The ambassador has to stay continually in touch with headquarters so that the ambassador knows what is the policy, what is the new thing. If there is some new information, they need to receive it and then communicate that new information. That is who we are. We are representing the kingdom of God in this hostile, dark environment. And we need to continually stay in contact with headquarters. So that if there's a change of policy, we know what to say. Are you with me so far? We cannot function as ambassadors effectively without continually staying in contact with headquarters. And that's what God invites us to. Moment by moment. Do you remember the story of Nehemiah? He goes before the king. And before he makes a request, he says, he breathes a quick prayer to heaven. That's who we are supposed to be. Many of you know that I'm a professor at the university, and every time I'm teaching a class, I remember that I am in a dark, hostile environment. God has placed me there. And when I'm in the middle of expounding these wonderful ideas, I shoot a prayer up there and I say, Father, show me how to communicate this concept to the students. I remember that many of my students will probably not step in church. Probably have never been to church before. But God has placed me there. And I am his vessel right in the midst of that campus. And I'm that donkey, speaks through me. And so I need to stay in contact with headquarters. And I do that moment by moment. Okay, Lord, if you've been hanging around me long enough, you hear me say, thanks, Lord. Thanks, Lord. Thanks, Lord. The continually, I'm communicating with heaven. Okay, so that's one. Jesus Christ in John 20:21 said, peace be with you. This is after he rose from the dead. And he's speaking to the disciples and said, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, his sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. So remember, brothers and sisters, we are followers of Christ. We are God's children. We are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We are God's royal priesthood. And the priest's job is to intercede continually. We are his ambassadors to a dark and dying world. We are aliens in this world. This is not our home. And so we need to stay in contact with headquarters to remind ourselves who we are. In Philippians, it talks about we are blameless, be blameless and pure children of God without fault. In a crooked and depraved generation in which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life. It's Christ shining in me. When I'm plugged into him, his power is flowing through me. And that is what shines. When I'm not rooted in him, when his power is not flowing through me, doesn't make a difference. Okay? So as ambassadors of heaven, we need to continue to stay in touch with heaven. As children of God, we need to continually commune with our Father to ask him each day for our daily bread and to tell him excitedly about the things he did in our lives. He wants to hear about that. And as followers of Christ, we need to emulate his example. You find that Jesus Christ prayed all the time. Let's look at Christ's example. In the life of Jesus Christ, he depended, he prayed, he fasted. That was Christ, our Lord. In Luke 5:16, it says that Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. That was his mode. That was his life. Continually communing with the Father. Some of you know that the boss is not here. The boss, my wife, she's in Austin with our son and our first granddaughter. And so every day, the boss and I talk. I wonder what your relationship would be like, those of you in a relationship, husband and wife, what your relationship would be like if you don't talk to your mate. How often do you talk? How often do you talk to God? Do you say hi, God, in the morning, or you don't at all? For some of us, sometimes we live like practical atheists. But for many of us, prayer is like our 911 call. When everything else has failed, let's pray. Is that where you are? Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. In Mark 1:35, it says, very early in the morning, it says this was his routine. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Now the context of that was that from verse 32, that evening after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. This was all night. And then early in the morning, he got up, went to a quiet place, and there he prayed. And he went on praying. Simon and his companions went to look for him. And when they found him, they exclaimed, everyone is looking for you. Jesus did not let his busyness disrupt that relationship with God, that time of prayer. Jesus spent a lot of time talking to his followers about prayer. He encouraged his disciples to pray. He taught them how to pray. He told them parables about prayer. He taught us to pray, may your kingdom come, may your will be done on earth. And bottom line is that Jesus Christ just modeled prayer for us. His disciples did not ask him, Lord, teach us how to teach, how to preach. But when they saw him praying, they said, Lord, teach us how to pray. In the same way, the Lord wants us to emulate that. When I read the scripture, I find this amazing, puzzling thing that somehow God wants me to pray and that he's depending on my prayer. To read Matthew chapter 9, verse 36 through 38. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. And I go, wait a minute. God, you are the owner of the harvest. You see the harvest. It's full. It's ready. Laborers are few. Why don't you send laborers into the harvest field? He asked the disciples to pray, to ask God. Brothers and sisters, God has chosen to work in answer to our prayer. He's counting on us. He's inviting us to be partners with him. He's counting on us to do his work. In fact, God has chosen to work only in answer to our prayer. God's intervention or actions in this world is usually prompted by human prayer. When we pray, we invite God to act, and he responds accordingly. Prayer is the way to connect with God and seek his involvement in our lives. He wants to be active in our lives, and not just in the crisis. Remember the story of Hannah, Samuel. When we read the book of Judges, at the end of Judges, the Bible says that everybody did what was right in their own eyes. And God's people were running amok. God had a problem on his hands. His children were out of control. He needed to bring them home. And what did God do? He closed Hannah's womb. Hannah was married. She didn't have children. When you read the scripture, 1 Samuel, it says that God closed Hannah's womb. And Hannah was crying to God, God, give me a son. And as Hannah prayed, God answered Hannah's prayer and gave her Samuel. And you know the story. God used Samuel to turn Israel back to himself. I'm suggesting that maybe the difficulty you are going through is God inviting you to a deeper relationship with him in prayer. Because as Hannah cried to God, God answered. And God used that to solve that problem. Ezekiel 32 is a whole chapter there. It's talking about all things that Israel has done and how Israel is deserving of God's punishment. In verse 30, it says, I look for a man, someone who would build up the wall and stand before me in the gap on behalf of the land so that I would not have to destroy it. But I found no one. America is ripe for judgment. God says, I'm looking for a man, a woman to stand in the gap. New Life Church, we are ripe for revival. God says, I'm looking for someone who will stand in the gap and intercede and ask me and call on me to send that revival. But I've not found one. Will you be that one? Will you be that one person who will stand in the gap on behalf of the land? So what we see here is that in Jesus' life, prayer was paramount. What about the life of the disciples? See the same thing. In Acts 2:42 through 43, it says that the early church, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Prayer was priority. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. In Acts 6, where the church is growing, they have to distribute food to the people. In those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, the Hellenistic Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, listen to this, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them, and we will give our attention to prayer and ministry. They prioritized prayer. They depended on prayer. They called on God, and God did his work. No wonder they had all those miracles around them. We look at that and we go, where is the God of the New Testament church? We're looking for new methods. We're looking at new ways, new organizations. God is looking for men and women, children, who cry out to him so that he will move in their midst. In Acts 4, when they were threatened, intimidated, they got together and prayed. And after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. And they were all filled with the Spirit, and they spoke the word of God boldly. In Acts 12, Peter is put in jail. And they, of course, planning to kill him. But the church was earnestly praying for Peter. The early church depended on prayer, and that is where we should be. We don't have the power because maybe we did not stay in contact with headquarters. We did not call. Remember, when we work, we work. When we pray, God works. Because they recognized that they were in a hostile environment, they needed the strength and power of God. They prayed continuously. Prayer in the life of famous Christians, early Christians. You've heard about John Wesley. He started the Methodist Church. John Wesley said he spends 2 hours daily in prayer and commonly said that God does nothing but in answer to prayer. John Wesley. Martin Luther. If I fail to spend 2 hours in prayer each morning, the devil gets the victory through the day. I have so much business, I cannot get on without spending 3 hours in prayer. Martin Luther. Charles Spurgeon. When asked the secret of his spiritual power, he said, knee work, knee work. When we work, we work. When we pray, God works. S.D. Gordon said, the greatest thing anyone can do for God and man is to pray. It is not the only thing, but it is the chief thing. The great people of earth are the people who pray. I do not mean those who talk about prayer, nor those who say they believe in prayer, nor yet those who can explain about prayer. I mean those people who take time to pray. E.M. Barnes, one of my favorite authors on prayer, wrote these words. God's plan is to make much of the man, far more of him than anything else. Men and women are God's method. The church is looking for better methods. God is looking for better men and women. What the church needs today is not more machinery or better, not new organizations or more and novel methods, but men whom the Holy Spirit can use, men of prayer, men mighty in prayer. The Holy Spirit does not flow through methods, but through men and women. He does not come on machinery, but on men and women. He does not anoint plants, but men and women of prayer. So what does that mean for me? How about prayer in my own life? The one concern of Satan is to keep Christians from praying. He fears nothing from prayerless studies. He fears nothing from prayerless work and prayerless religion. He laughs at our toil. He mocks at our wisdom. But he trembles when we pray. Because when we pray, we bring God into the situation. We bring the unlimited resources and power of God into our situation. No wonder Satan works so hard to keep us from praying. Have you ever experience this when you decide to pray? That is the time you remember a zillion other things you should be doing other than prayer. Can you relate? Satan doesn't fear you doing the things that you do, but he wants to keep you from praying. And Jesus invites us to pray. So, where do we begin? How do I establish a vibrant prayer life? recognizing that I'm an ambassador, I need to hear from heaven continually, recognizing that God is inviting me, how about, number one, set a consistent time. Set a time. In my home, the alarm goes off at 5 o'clock, and I drag myself out, go to the living room, because if I lie in my bed, I sleep. Okay. Alarm goes off at 5 o'clock, and I get out there, the boss and I, we go there, and we just spend time with God. How about you have that appointment? You schedule that appointment, and you keep that appointment. I find that if it's not on my calendar, it doesn't exist, and I miss it. So I've got this thing set up. Alarm goes off at 5 o'clock, and I'm intentionally left the alarm in my bathroom, so it forces me to get out of bed and go to the bathroom so that I can turn it off, and by the time I turn it off, I'm awake. And I'll go to the living room to pray. And I've been doing that for so long. For about a week, I was a little bit lazy, and I would turn it off, I would turn it off, I would turn it off. And then about a week later, I went, and I got on my knees, and the Lord said, son, I've missed you. Brothers and sisters, your father is missing you. He's saying, come home, son, daughter, let's talk. I want to confide in you what I'm doing. I've missed you. So set a time. Set a time. Might be 5 minutes, might be 10 minutes, but set a time. And then choose a space, a place, a place. For me, it's by my couch. I go there and I kneel there, and that's the time with my father. And it's fun to frequently feel that he's embracing me. It's like someone is giving me a hug. Set that time apart. When you go in there, you don't know what to say. Begin with just gratitude. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Master. Thank you, Jesus. Thank him for the things he has done. Thank him that you are his son, his daughter. Thank him. And be authentic. You don't have to use any special words or terminology. When your little child is beginning to talk and they say, da-da, it's music to your ears, right? They don't say it perfectly. I'm suggesting don't worry about the words you're saying. Just pour out your heart to God. And then listen to him, because it's a two-way communication. You speak to him and he speaks back to you. It's fun to hear him say, son, I am with you. I will not forsake you. And I've got this. I've got your back. Use scripture. Pray God's word back to him. And be patient and persistent. But show up, okay? Show up. And see God demonstrate his power on your behalf. How about you join others to pray? Every Wednesday, we come here to pray. We come to pray for you. In fact, for a while now, we've been fasting and praying. And Wednesday, we meet here to pray. How about you come join us? Because we're here interceding on behalf of the body. We're praying for the request that you sent. We can do that. Okay, so what have you heard me say? I'm saying that when you work, you work. When you pray, God works. And let us not treat prayer as our ambulance, as the 911 call. Let's not wait until it's a crisis. We can't do anything else, so now let's pray. Let's begin with that, because God wants to be intimately involved in everything. The example of Jesus was continually depending on the Father in prayer, continually communing with God. So remember, you are an ambassador for Christ. You are an ambassador for the kingdom of heaven. You are Christ's representative here on earth. You need to stay in contact with heaven to receive the latest intelligence report and represent heaven. Esther, come on down. Where are you? Okay, all right, okay, okay. All right. And we need to follow Christ's example of prayer and see the glory of God that the disciples did. God is looking for a man, a woman. Will you be that one who stands in the gap on behalf so that God doesn't destroy? Esther is going to remind us about that. Thank you, Esther.
The last time my dad preached, he did not include me in the sermon. And I yelled at him for for leaving me out, because we're a package deal at this point. He can't preach without my singing. So we got it together this time, and I'm happy to be back sharing a song about prayer.
For healing, deeply we need to see God's mercy revealing where we have fallen from His way. For we know He gives hope to the humble, gives light in the darkness, and grace when we stumble. So let us call on His name together, knowing He will say, if my people pray and reach for me with hearts that are broken, I will not forget spoken. Come and seek my face, and heaven will rain. Rivers of my grace overflowing, night and day my ears will be open. If my people to pray with conviction for the souls of the nation. So let us call on His name, who's faithful. Promise still remains, if my people pray and reach for me. I will
Thank you, Esther. So God is inviting us to come to Him and pray. And as we cry out to Him, He will heal our land. Can we take that invitation? I'm hoping that you hear this exciting invitation, your dad calling you, come on, come let's meet. Maybe you're making a decision today and your decision is, God, I want to spend some time with you. How about you do that right now? Let's close our eyes and you talk to your Father. He wants to hear your voice. For some of us, it's repenting that we have treated Him as if the emergency 911 call. And ask Him for grace to help you be faithful and to seek Him. Father, I thank you. I thank you that you invite us continually, Lord, to come join you in your work. And you have chosen to work only in answer to our prayer. Help us to not neglect the weapons you have given us. The weapons of our warfare are mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds. Help us not to try to take down these strongholds by ourselves, my Lord, in your strength, in your power. Thank you for the reminder that when we work, we work. When we pray, you work. And so, Lord, do your work in our body. Lord God Almighty, I pray, set us on fire for you. Thank you that you are with us. Thank you that the heavenly hosts are behind us. That those who are with us are more than those who are against us, Lord. As we go into the darkness, Lord, thank you that you are just a prayer away. And that, Lord, all your resources are behind us. Lord God Almighty, help us to see your power at work. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the reminder that you have chosen to work in answer to our prayer. Glorify yourself as we seek you. Thank you, Father, in Christ's name. Amen. Now let's receive the blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance over you and be And just let His blessing pursue you and overtake you. May you see God answer prayer for you. That He fills your heart with joy. And you look back and declare the Lord has done it. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. As you commune with God. In Christ's name, amen. Have a good week.